A mining engineer with 45 years of experience in gold heap leaching slammed not only Victoria Gold Corp., but the entire mining industry for a lack of geotechnical monitoring of heap leach facilities worldwide following a textbook liquefaction failure in the Yukon. Mark Smith, an engineer who spent the last 12 years working on cold climate projects, is hoping a report he co-authored as part of his work on an independent review board will raise the bar when it comes to surveillance of heap leach facilities in the Canadian territory and around the world. In 2024, the mining industry saw the two worst failures in the history of heap leach mining, including the Eagle Gold Mine incident north of Mayo, according to Smith. The review board was tasked with finding the technical causes of the disastrous heap leach facility failure at Victoria Gold Corp.'s Eagle Gold Mine on June 24, 2024. The report's authors described the buildup of adverse conditions and events that they found caused the slide at the mine site last year. They offered more than 50 recommendations derived from published and unpublished documents, guidelines and standards that can be extrapolated further than Eagle Gold Mine. We are hoping that this document will help lead all of the heap leach jurisdictions and heap leach companies to better practices, Smith told attendees at a technical briefing held for reporters on July 8, nearly a week following the public release of the report. The recommendations at the end are all real-world recommendations that have been successfully implemented elsewhere. Assigning responsibility for the slide was beyond the board's scope. During the technical briefing, Smith indicated that placing blame or determining who was at fault would be part of a different kind of investigation that really can't start until the technical evaluations are done. During the technical presentation, Smith identified the five causes, ore variability, impairment of the pregnant leach solution, PLS, collection system, oversteepened slope, rising perched water table and liquefiable ore. All five of those things had to happen at the same time for this catastrophe to happen, he said. Getting any one of those right would have prevented this. First, the variety of ore wasn't addressed in the design or operating practices, according to slides presented during the technical briefing. While the mine operators set up informal protocols, the protocols were inadequate and inconsistently applied. A solid portion of the worst ore in the deposit was stacked in 2020, during the COVID-19 pandemic, including in the 975 lift. That led to the formation of a low permeability layer throughout the lift. The report refers to the 975 lift as an area with the highest concentration of material defined as weak and resistant to letting liquids through, with a top elevation of approximately 975 meters. What we found was most of the ore stacked in 2020 was among the worst ore in the deposit, and worst from a geotechnical perspective, Smith said. Some of that ore was actually the highest gold content ore. Secondly, several flaws in the PLS collection system, combined with the low permeability ore, caused saturation of the 975 lift as well as a perched water table to form, per the slides. Thirdly, the slope was made steeper than the design to make way for an access ramp that wasn't considered in the original design or stability analyses, as noted in the slides. Smith explained the fourth cause is related to the perched water table, which was at its deepest point on June 24, 2024. That water table formed on top of the 975 lift and became several meters deep. He said a modest-sized slope failure in the rising water table on the 975 lift provided the trigger for the catastrophic failure. Some people postulated in the early days that a pipe broke 5 minutes before the failure, and people postulate that that caused the failure, Smith said. We investigated that, and there is essentially no chance that that's what happened. We think the pipe failed because the slope was moving enough to break the pipe. The fifth factor that caused the failure is referred to as liquefiable ore. Smith defined liquefaction as the sudden loss of strength because you're causing saturated contractive ore to contract. The water pressure skyrockets, and as it skyrockets, the properties of the material change. The shear strength, which holds everything up, collapses. Smith said it took 10 seconds from the trigger to material leaving containment. Like a toothpaste tube, he said. It's the liquefaction failure where nominally 2 million tons of liquefied ore was pushed out over the top of the dam and flowed down and into Dublin Gulch. That whole process, it started in April with irrigation. It took about 2 months for the local inner ramp failure to happen, and once the inner ramp failure started, it took 10 seconds for the first ton of ore across the top of the dam. Smith is also on the failure response team for SSR Mining's Koppler mine in Turkey, which was the site of a heap leach failure that killed 9 workers in February 2024. Smith suggested any serious injuries could have been prevented there if the mine had proper surveillance and followed its own guidelines. Smith is calling for more robustness when it comes to designing and surveying heap leach facilities across the board. When asked how often he sees sites with very little surveillance, Smith said, "It distresses me to say far too common. Surveillance works," he said. The board's advice isn't costed out. Smith figures that implementing the board's recommendations territory-wide will amount to less than the $220 million and counting the Yukon government has been forking over to PricewaterhouseCoopers Inc. PwC. PwC is the court-appointed receiver put in charge of the mine. It has received loans from the Yukon government to pay for the cleanup and site management costs. The Yukon government is first in line among creditors to be paid back following the sale of the mine. PwC has announced plans to begin extracting gold from waste materials on the site to help fund its activities. The cost that the Yukon taxpayers have been burdened with for this failure would fund all of our recommendations on every mining project that will ever be proposed in the Yukon, Smith said. Smith remains neutral on whether a full public inquiry should be called. Nobody asked us to opine on that, he said. Smith wonders what purpose such an inquiry would serve. He suggested that placing blame for financial liability would fall to civil litigation while the review board's recommendations are suited to create a more robust mining industry. Contact Dana Hatherley at dana.hatherley@yukon-news.com.